The book of Galatians today serves to us as a reminder of our free gift of salvation and our freedom to live a spiritually fruitful life. However, historically, the Galatians' freedom was under attack by a group of Jewish believers known as Judaizers. The Judaizers were trying to persuade the Galatians to follow the laws and the customs of the Jewish faith. But Paul was writing a letter to the Galatians, reminding them that Christ had come to set them free from a performance-driven faith. And when Paul was actually living amongst the Galatians, he even preached to them a gospel. A gospel that they could have a relationship with God because of what Christ had done for them. It was not a prize for them to win. The Judaizers kind of remind me of a conversation that I overheard at a restaurant. And kind of like using that word overheard, I can say that's preaching lingo for eavesdropping. It makes it kind of all right then. So these two ladies were having a conversation. And you could tell by what was happening in the conversation that the young lady sitting at the table was a bride-to-be. And she was having lunch with her wedding planner. And she was talking to the wedding planner and telling her of how she wanted her reception to look and how she wanted the tables laid out and what guests she wanted at each table. And she even had a little chart that made it all clear for everybody to see. But the wedding planner brought out her own chart. And you could tell by how the conversation took a turn that their charts did not line up whatsoever. And the conversation finally got a little bit heated. And the bride told the wedding planner, "Look, I have the freedom to make my wedding and my reception look any way that I want it to. This is my wedding, and I'm paying you to do a job." Which the wedding planner commented back. She goes, "I am doing my job, and I have all the customs and the etiquette of all the weddings before this one to prove to you that I'm right." This is what was happening in the book of Galatians. See, the Judaizers and the wedding planners of this world were standing upon the principles of past laws and customs to prove that they were right. But Paul and the bride knew something that the wedding planner and the Judaizers do not know. That relationships are not built upon laws and customs, and especially a relationship with Christ. Now, Paul was very protective of the Galatians, because Paul was the one who brought the gospel to the Galatians. See, the Galatians were in bondage to sin. And with Paul bringing the gospel, he broke that slavery that was on them. And he was not about to let this newfound freedom in Christ to be exchanged for a new kind of bondage, a bondage to the law. See, Paul was the one who loved them. He was the one that lived amongst them. And because he loved them, he wanted to make sure that the Galatians enjoyed all the freedoms that Christ died to give them. And he wanted them to taste the fruit that is produced when we live a life of freedom in Christ. See, the Galatians had a comparison in my mind that only I can give out of a conversation that I had with a drug enforcement agent. The drug enforcement agent was telling me that drug dealers were making meth to look like rock candy. And they were doing this to deceive middle school age children into being hooked on meth. See, drug dealers were intentionally preying on the human nature of a child in order to lead them into enslavery of drug addiction. As a father of three children, this infuriated me as the conversation. And this is the emotions that Paul had towards the Judaizers. See, the Judaizers were trying to deceive the Galatians into following the very law that Christ had fulfilled and demolished upon the cross. See, the Galatians were being led away from Christ. And we can find in Galatians 5, 1 through 9, as Paul instructs the Galatians. So Christ has made us free. Now make sure you stay free and don't get all tied up again in the chains of slavery to Jewish laws and ceremonies. Listen to me, for this is serious. If you are counting on circumcision and keeping the Jewish laws to make you right with God, then Christ cannot save you. I'll say it again. Anyone trying to find favor with God by being circumcised must always obey every other Jewish law or perish. Christ is useless to you. If you're counting on clearing your debt to God by keeping those laws, you are lost from the grace of God. But we, by the help of the Holy Spirit, are counting on Christ's death to clear away our sins and to make us right with God. And we, to whom Christ has given eternal life, don't need to worry about whether we have been circumcised or not, or whether we are obeying the Jewish ceremonies or not. For all we need is faith working through love. You're getting along so well. Who has interfered with you to hold you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God who has done it. For he is the one who has called you to freedom in Christ, but takes only one person among you to infect all of the others. See, Paul was reminding the Galatians of the freedom that they had in Christ. And for them to follow Jewish law would be a return back into slavery. How can Paul be so certain that following the law would bring slavery? It's very simple. Paul is the recovered meth addict. He knows the law is not rock candy. He knows that the law is a drug that will enslave you into a life trying to make yourself acceptable to God by your performance. And it would destroy their Christian faith. See, Paul once was very, very zealous for the law before his conversion to Christianity. And his zeal for a law built a pride within him that eventually turned to an anger and hatred to the Christian faith, to the point that he began to persecute Christians. That eventually led to murder. See, Paul understands the dangers of trying to live a life to make yourself acceptable to God in your own effort. Paul had firsthand knowledge of the type of fruit that would be produced in the Galatians' life if they tried to live their life by the standard of the law. Why? Because Paul had experienced it within his own life. And Paul understood that it is the nature of the tree that determines the type of fruit that is produced. See, in the Garden of Eden, there were two very important trees. One was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the other was the tree of life. Now, the tree of life represents a life lived in the grace of God, and it produces freedom. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now it represents a life living by the standard of the law, and it produces death. In Genesis chapter 2, God gave Adam only one law to obey. And that was, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you do, you surely will die. Man would be separated from the tree of life. And Adam broke the only law that was given to him. And man has been a lawbreaker ever since. Ever since that man ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, man's nature has been corrupted by sin. Yes, we gain the knowledge of the difference between right and wrong, but we also gained a sinful nature that made us impossible in our own efforts to be able to live up to that law. See, we separated ourselves from the presence of God within our life. Now, oranges are absolutely my favorite fruit. I've got one problem. I would love to be able to eat oranges picked freshly off a tree. The problem is I cannot find a single orange tree in Northeast Tennessee anywhere. But I've got a solution. I can find apple trees everywhere, and I'm going to go buy an apple tree at Lowe's. And I'm going to get some citrus fruit fertilizer, and I am going to fertilize that tree until I get oranges from that apple tree. And I know why you're laughing at me, because you're thinking that boy is out of his mind if he thinks that he can get an apple to produce oranges just by changing the fertilizer. And I agree with you. You should check my sanity if I actually believe that would work. But it's just as insane for us as human beings to believe that we can live a life acceptable to God by living life in our own effort and making us be able to fulfill the law. Because we have a sinful nature. And the only fruit that our sinful nature can produce is sin. And Paul shows us when we live life in our own nature of the type of fruit that is produced in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. But when you follow your own wrong inclination, your lives will produce these evil results: impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, spiritism, that is the encouraging of activity of demons, hatred and fighting, jealousy and anger, constant effort to get the best for yourself, complaints and criticism, the feeling that everyone else is wrong except those in your own little group. And there will be wrong doctrine, envy, murder, drunkenness, wild parties, and all sorts of things. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, it's very easy for us to see the sin in immoral man's life. We can look at the immoral man and see from this list they have eagerness for lustful pleasures, idolatry, spiritism, murder, drunkenness, wild parties, and Paul goes on to say, and all sorts of things like that, because we know what an immoral man's life looks like, and we can easily point that out. But you know, the man who's trying to live a moral life in his own effort, his actions and behaviors are tainted by sin as well, because the only thing we have to gain things from is our sinful nature. And even sin corrupts our own efforts to be moral. You've lived in the South long enough that you've been around a very legalistic person, or you grew up in a legalistic church, or you may even know another religion that based all of their beliefs upon following a set of laws and rules. And we've been around that person. You give them the certain rules and they follow those rules, and it wells up within pride. And they become very self-consumed. And when they're able to find the set of rules that they want to follow, if you're not following those rules, then you must not be worthy of God. Now, you may be able to find common ground for 99% of those rules, but that one rule that you don't agree with him, they are angry and bitter towards you. See, it's very easy to see that an immoral man's fruit in his life is sin. But the fruit of a self-righteous man is just as poisonous. To be able to think and to accept to ourselves that we can live a life that is pleasing to God through our own sinful nature is like expecting oranges from the apple tree. Galatians 5:5 tells us the solution to our problem. Christ has come to set us free. Free from sin, free from our sin nature, free to be able to return back to the tree of life and live a spiritually fruitful life. And when we live this spiritually fruitful life, Paul tells us what that fruit looks like in Galatians 5:22. It says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our life, He produces this kind of fruit within us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is not a single life that has not been lived upon this earth that does not desire the reality of their life to be described by these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, including myself. So how? How do we obtain this spiritual fruitfulness within our life? I believe we find that answer in John 15:1-5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, the key to living a spiritually fruitful life is staying connected to Christ. And I believe the first critical step that we have to make in staying connecting to Christ is a realization. We must realize that there is nothing good that dwells within our sinful nature. Now, I've spent a lot of time this morning trying to prove to you that you cannot live a spiritually acceptable life to God in your own nature. But some of you, I didn't have to teach you that. You were like me. You knew that already this morning. We know that because we lived a life of failure, of frustration and burnout, of trying to live out the Christian walk in our own effort. And I remember within my life when I had that realization for the first time. See, I was watching TV one night and something was said on a program, and wasn't even a Christian program, that made me begin to wonder, what would happen to me if I died? Would I go to heaven? So I began to look at the behaviors of my life and realized that my behaviors and my lifestyle was absolutely not pleasing to God. So in my human logic, I began to think, well, if I change my behaviors, then I can make myself acceptable to God. So I began to look at the Bible to find those behaviors. What are those commands that I can change within my life that would make myself acceptable to God? And this is what my life turned into. I felt like the man standing on the stage spinning the plates upon a stick. Now, I was able to pick out 5 or 6 commands that I could keep those plates spinning on my own. But the problem with the law is that it keeps handing you plates. And to the point that you can't spin them on your own, and eventually a plate crashes. And I would scurry down to the ground and pick up the pieces of the broken plate. And I would start gluing it together to try to make that plate acceptable to God again so I could spin it. But the problem when I was trying to put that one plate back together, the remaining plates crashed. And within my frustration, I was screaming out to God, I cannot do this. How do you expect me to be acceptable to you? There are all these laws that I want to follow, but it's impossible for me. I can't even remember all the laws that I've read. I cannot do this on my own. And it was in the middle of that frustration that God gave me a great revelation within my life. He said, Tony, I never asked you to spin the plates. I just asked you to sit down and eat. The law was not given to us so that we could fulfill it and make ourselves acceptable to God. The law was given to us as a mirror that we can hold in front of us and to be able to see that what God said is sin and realize that sin dwells within inside of us and we find ourselves committing that sin over and over again. But God gave us the law so that we could see our sin nature and realize that we needed a Savior. See, our acceptance to God is based 100% on what Christ has done for us on the cross. Nothing that we have done for Him. And we have to realize that for a spiritually fruitful life, because the moment that we believe that we can do something to make ourselves acceptable to God is the very moment that we believe in our own effort that we could have a spiritually fruitful life. And that leads us to our second critical step for a spiritually fruitful life. And I need you to kind of take a deep breath, focus in a little bit, because I'm about to give you a very simple statement. But it is a concept that I find is difficult to apply to my life. We must gain total dependence upon Christ to bear spiritual fruit. The Bible says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. I think that's a pretty clear statement. Jesus, what kind of act can I perform so that I can have spiritual fruitfulness within my life? Nothing. You are like the dead branch laying on the ground that is no longer part of the tree. It cannot produce fruit. Neither can you produce a spiritually fruitful life if you are disconnected from me. However, we try to live our Christian life with trying to change our behaviors in order to make ourselves acceptable to God. You see, we don't do what God has called us to do. God calls us to solely depend upon Him for life. And I like to be able to paint a little bit of a picture to hopefully bring a little clarity to that statement that we are not called to change our behaviors and our emotions to make ourselves acceptable to God. We are to make ourselves solely dependent upon Christ. See, if I take one of the fruits of the Spirit, I say I'll choose patience. And I'm going to start with my family. I am going to commit myself to not showing any anger towards my children when they do something to irritate me. Yeah. And you know what? After a while, I'll develop some coping mechanisms and I'll be able to hide my anger from them. But you know just as well as I do that that anger is still down on the inside of me. And trying to control your emotions is like trying to dam up a river. You may be able to stop the flow of water for a little while, but eventually some of that water is going to have to be released. Because if you don't, it's going to overflow the dam, or it is going to burst that dam wide open. So if I'm walking through my house barefooted and I step on a Lego block, you guessed it. The dam has burst open at that time. Because the reality is that I've done nothing to change on what's going on inside of me. See, we have been deceived into believing that our Christian life is a life of changing our behaviors and suppressing our emotions, instead of allowing Christ to change what it is on the inside of us. So if the Christian life is not about changing our behaviors or suppressing our emotions, then what is the alternative? The alternative is to be totally dependent upon Christ. See, the Bible tells us in Galatians 2:20 that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, a life of dependency upon Christ is the exchanged life. Christ is calling us to exchange our sinful nature for his life living in and through us. And Galatians 2:20 tells us that we have to live that life by faith. By faith, I have to look at who I am and what I am feeling and decide to exchange it for what Christ says I am and how he wants to live his life through me. You see, when I become depressed, I have to exchange my life for his joy. When I lose all ability to not feel fear within this world, I have to exchange my life for his peace. See, to be honest with you, I've spent a lot of my Christian life trying to mimic spiritual fruitfulness instead of experiencing Christ's fruitfulness within me. You see, I've tried to make myself happy as a counterfeit for Christ's joy. I have tried to suppress all of my negative emotions instead of experiencing patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, and self-control within my life. I've tried to remove every negative circumstance within my life as a cheap imitation of peace. See, I allowed my life at times to settle for the wax fruit sitting on the table. It looks really, really good on the outside, but there is absolutely no life on the inside. You see, Christ is asking us to live that exchanged life. That when we have all of these sinful aspects that come within our life, he's asking us to change our sinful nature for his life living through us. And you tell me, Tony, you really believe it's that simple and it works that way? I have to admit to you honestly as well, there are times in my life when I don't think it's that simple. And there are times in my life, in my human logic and reasoning, think this doesn't line up. 2 and 2 doesn't equal 4 in this. But it's those times in my life that I remind myself that unbelief makes the simple things of God complex. And it's those times that I have to get back to the simplicity of the Scripture. When God says it's true, it's true. It does not matter what my logic lines up with it or not. His ways are higher than my ways. And I need to look to him to find the truth within my life. So when I find myself in a period of life where I'm not developing any spiritual fruit whatsoever, it reminds me that I am no longer connected to Him. And I have to go back to Galatians 2:20, because Galatians 2:20 is a verse that I use as my life verse. But I say it to myself in a little bit different of a way. It's my paraphrased version of Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Tony, that life that you received from Adam in the Garden of Eden, that sin nature, he's dead. He is not coming back. But Christ lives in you. The life that is flowing through you now is the very life of Jesus Christ. And I have to look in the mirror and say, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith. It does not matter what my logic and my reasoning is telling me. It is time to live my life by faith and align up my thoughts and my beliefs with what the Bible says, because He loved me and He gave Himself for me. You think, do you really talk to yourself that way? I do. Because I spent most of my Christian life talking myself into a fruitless, dried up, miserable existence of a Christian life. And it is time to talk myself into the fruit-filled life that Christ died to give me. I know that's an extremely hard concept to wrap our brains around, because we live in a society that we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we push on to success. But really, we depend upon somebody every day for something in our life. We may depend upon the farmers to produce us fruit, or we may depend on the city of Kingsport to give us clean water to drink. That's all Christ is asking us to do. Depend upon me to give you a spiritually fruit-filled life. See, Christ has taken off all the pressure of performance. He has given us the freedom to live that spiritually fruit-filled life. If you only get one statement here today, please get this statement that I'm about to make. Christ did not come and live and die in order for you to change your life. Christ died so that you could exchange your life for His. Christ wants to exchange your sinful nature for His holiness. See, Christ lived among us not to give us a better example or a better set of rules or a better philosophy. Christ came, and He gave us His all, and He died for us to be able to live that exchanged life. Christ performed perfectly upon the earth, so you do not even have to perform at all. No pressure, no poor performance, no hidden agenda, and no fear of rejection. We are free. Because of the cross, we are free from our sin nature and we're free from our sin. Because of His resurrection, we are free to have Jesus Christ living His life through us. And because of His Holy Spirit, we are free to live that fruitful, Spirit-filled life. See, when you came in today, somebody tried to give you a pack of fruit snacks. And some of you took those fruit snacks very freely. But some of you told them, I don't want your fruit snacks. See, that's what Christ came to do for us. He said, I have everything you need packaged up within my life to make you a Spirit-filled, fruitful life. I just need you to receive it from me. Connect your life back into my life and enjoy all the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control that I died to give you. The same gospel that gave you the free gift of salvation is the very same gospel that gives you the ability to live a Spirit-filled, fruitful life. I know that's a lot for one Sunday to wrap your brain around, but I would like to be able to do something. If you're one of those people that has lived their life on the power of performance and you're burnt out and strung out on that and you just want to know God's acceptance within your life, or you're just somebody who just needs that fruitfulness for because it's been a dry season and you just want to know how to get reconnected, I'll be here on Wednesday night at 6:30, and you can meet me in room 210 there in the back. I'm no great guru, but I've been there. And I can tell you the only solution there is to live a life connected to Christ. And I would like to be able to help you to be able to wrap your reasoning and your logic behind that so that you can walk in that. Let's pray for our freedom. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I give you praise. I give you praise because you have come to set us free. Because of the cross, we are free. We are free from our sin. We are free from our sinful nature. And because of your life, I am free to have the fruitful life. Father, I pray for your freedom to be proclaimed, that the chains of slavery of sin or for performance to be broken off of our life and to be able to live in the freedom that brings fruitfulness. In Christ's name, I pray for every voice, every ear to proclaim in their life, we are free in Jesus Christ. Amen.